ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. Getting into a depression and entertaining thoughts of despondency is not for the Muslim. Allah doesn't want you to do that. Had He wanted you to become depressed, despondent, and despaired of His mercy, then He wouldn't have revealed His verse, لا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا. Don't lose your spirit, don't lose heart, and don't grieve. In other words, don't entertain these type of thoughts, these type of discussions that will overwhelm you with grief, with pain, will make you totally despondent. The vehicle of life has to be moving right until you reach Jannat. And the fuel for this vehicle is hope, motivation, and a drive. You need a drive, you need a motivation, you need hope. Now the very fuel, you are wasting the fuel, throwing it away, then how are you going to drive yourself to Jannat? So hope, encouragement, motivation, this is the very fuel. And that's the fuel, then look for areas to bring up your spirit rather than looking for areas to break down your spirit. When there was a small encounter on the occasion of Uhud where the believers had lost some lives, and how many verses of the Quran Sharif came just to pick up the spirit? مَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم وليمحص الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء. So many verses were revealed on that occasion just to bring up your spirit. So Allah doesn't want you to deliberately lose your spirit, break your spirit. Pick up your spirit, whatever the situation, and move on with the journey. No matter what mistake you have made, what wrong we have fallen into, but look now, right, under the circumstance, what must I do? Allah doesn't want me to become despaired, so under the circumstance, what must I do to complete the journey? In some situations are simple, you can fix it yourself, and some situations you have to find out, refer. Then don't feel embarrassed to refer the thing, right? Now, I fell into this, now how do I go about making it? What should I do? You can see now, you stumbled once, you want to try yourself the second time, you stumble again. Now, before you can stumble for the second time, refer it to the one that you have confidence, who is mentoring you. Refer it to him, you will find a little bit of embarrassment, but you won't slip into this again. And if you don't refer it, then the next time it becomes a habit, then it becomes an addiction, then you become quite complacent, then the seriousness of the sin leaves your heart, then it becomes like normal behavior. You started and you went into ghibat once, right? Or you falsely accused someone, or you ridiculed someone, right? So it happened first, then you didn't take it seriously, you fell into the second time, then it becomes an addiction, then you begin to justify. Rather than that, it happened once, don't you give yourself the second chance. Get up, understand, refer it. Mind is not clear, find out, alright, this is what I've done. Mawlana Muhammad Qasim Sahib, Nanwatpi Rahmatullah Ali, is the founder of Darul Deoband, right? So, Mawlana Ahmad Hassan Amrohi and another student accompanied him to Delhi. So Mulana had been resting his charpai on his bed, and these two in some other charpai in the same room. So there was a discussion, okay, tomorrow Fajr namaz, we'll read it in this masjid, because the imam reads it very well. So the discussion carried on, and that imam that was reading very well, his name was Fazl Muhammad. So these two satis are discussing, and it came out from one's tongue, ye to Fazl Muhammad nahi, ye to Fasl Muhammad hai, bidati hai, aur ye Fasl Muhammad hai. And the sheikh decide, and the ustad decide, are the two students. So Fasl means an adversary, an opposition. Fadl means a blessing, right? Fadl is a blessing, and Fasl, he's moved away, separated himself, right? So the student changed the name from Fadl Muhammad to Fasl Muhammad. Obviously, why? Because he was more into bidat, so he gave that name. So Mawla Qasim Sahib asked, unka naam kya hai? So they said Fasl Muhammad. Aur aapne kya kaun se naam se pukara Fasl Muhammad? To Mawla said, this is not calling people by names, wala talmizu anfusakum wala tanabasu bil alqab. Whatever he's doing, but you're not supposed to be giving titles to people. And you've given him a title, labeled the person, right? So aren't you going against the verse وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ? So the student needs to be a student, and the learner needs to be clear to his mentor, and the mentor also supposed to be correcting. Made a mistake, small or big, right? Concealed or open, but he needs to correct them. Now the students in that day, the difference between the student then and now is, when they received the correction, they embraced it, and they shared it with us as well. Okay, see, this is what we did, and this is how Hazrat had corrected us. Now, Hazrat Qasim Sahib passed away approximately 1296. So it's over 150 years, right? Over 150 years that he's passed on, right? But we still remember him so high. Right. See the level of ikhlas, sincerity, transparency, the teachings that came and flowed with the man. So we hold him in such esteem and such respect. So this nafs, and this human, let's call it the soul, or call it the temptation, whatever it is, right? This thing will definitely drive you wrong. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. Definitely going to drive you. It's going to be looking for a chance to mislead you. Small chance, big chance, small chance, big chance. But at any given time, it's looking for a way to cause you to slip, to fall. And sometimes you can fall, and you can fall so hard for you to get up after that. For you to reel from that injury becomes so difficult, like impossible. Like how can I reel up from this? But it starts off like this, that you consider the small to be too small. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah's adat, his habit was that when he used to undertake any journey, then he will meet Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Al Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Some of the times we used to join him and meet these luminaries. So that was the adat, the way, and we took on from them, alhamdulillah. What we learned, we took on. And it takes us time to understand, alright, that what was the level of the conformity with the sunnah. It may seem to be a small thing, but then we understand, alright, there was some conformity here. This is how it conforms, this is how it conforms, this is how it conforms, right? So we were there by Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, and Hazrat Rahmatullah will advise, like the Sahaba Kiram, for them to issue fatwas was the most difficult thing. They won't take a chance in that. But in advising themselves, advising others, then that was like their life. they see some problem, some weakness, or some area where they can give some advice, they won't hesitate in doing so. So that was their life. Then this Buzruhanuddin took it on from the Sahaba Kiram, that this was the life of the Sahaba Kiram, and they took it from the hadith and the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-deenu an-nasiha. What is deen? To wish well. Under the circumstance, how do we wish well? What are we supposed to be doing? How do we wish well for this person here, for this situation, for the circumstance, for the surrounding, for the association? But how do we wish well? So, we are students, we just completed now, and then it is a holiday, and Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullah is about to undertake a journey, and we are accompanying Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullah to Hazrat Rahmatullah. Hazrat started his nasihat. He says, don't count a small guna as a small guna. La tahqiranna min al ma'rufi shay'an. And the same applies to sin. If good, don't consider it to be too insignificant. And if it's wrong, don't consider it to be insignificant. Don't consider that. You know that wrong, and how it will break you, how it will bust you, how it will smash you down. It's a small thing. You may consider it, count it as a small thing. But what it will do to you, how it will break you, you don't know. So if you're wrong, then take the initiative to go and rectify, correct, whatever it takes you. But rectify it, correct yourself. Ask for the maaf. You're not going to lose anything. And you're going to act stubborn and not ask for the maaf. Then, like you becoming stubborn, then the mercy of Allah also will hold back. As though you don't want the mercy of Allah to come, so you're acting stubborn. When you're acting stubborn, then the mercy also won't come to you. But the moment you relented, you gave in, you humbled yourself, and then you see the mercy of Allah is opening up to you. You're acting stubborn, not opening up, right? Not asking for the maaf, not taking the right steps, right? What steps you were supposed to be taking to rectify the situation. You didn't do that. So Allah Ta'ala also holds back the mercy from you. The special thing that you were supposed to be enjoying, you're not enjoying. All it needed, all that was required, humble yourself, correct yourself, ask for the maaf, come back onto the track, come back onto the line, and you see the whole mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will just open up to you. Sometimes it is a business that's not coming. Sometimes it's an opportunity that's closing up, right? Sometimes it's a friend that has become an enemy. Sometimes it's a sickness that is incurable, right? All these things happen. Sometimes it is you did something and then you got a stroke of paralysis, a fit and a strong person. Now you become dependent on your children, on your wife, or everybody. Now you think, hey, I did this and this was the consequence. Just now I was the driver, now they need to drive me, I need them. But this also is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He struck you with this, so that you open up your eyes before it's too late. Now you touch the grave, then you want to correct yourself. Al-ana waqad asayta min qablu wa kunta min al-mufsidin. When you're touching the grave, at that time you want to relent and repent, then it's too late. Al-ana waqad asayta qablu wa kunta min al-mufsidin. All your life you've been sinning. Now at this moment you want to correct yourself, when it's too late. The time is gone. So this small trials that come up, the small trials, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. Before the mighty punishment, Allah Ta'ala sends these small trials just to shake you up, get you back onto the line. So now, if you don't understand this, then when do you understand? If you didn't understand this, now when will you understand? Just now, that person was friendly with you. He was very good to you. Right? Now the man's whole inclination has been turned. He's not towards you anymore. He doesn't like you anymore. He doesn't show you that respect. Just now he was showing you the respect, now he doesn't show you the respect. He was showing you that muhabbat, he doesn't show you that muhabbat. He was showing you, giving you that time, now he's not giving you that time. But now, you don't realize that you try and shift the blame onto that person and that second person and that third person. As though you're the only innocent person. I'm the best person, I'm the most innocent person, and therefore I am not worthy of any blame. You're not looking into yourself by where did I go wrong? I went wrong somewhere, I stumbled also somewhere, and because of my stumbling, this has come about. One person tells me that things are not working out. I've got some problems in the home, here, there, I've got some problems. So explain to him, see, Allah Ta'ala has connected the limbs to the heart. Connected the limbs to the heart. Nowadays you will call it the mind. One of the same thing. Right? Just that you will say the mind is here, not here. And the Quran will say that the mind is here, not there, right? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. So where's the mind? Right. So anyway, so Allah Pak has connected the limbs to the heart. What is the proof that there's a connection? The thought starts off in the mind, right? And the mind then activates the entire body, right? The thought says, alright, let's go and have a meal at Spurs, right? What happens? If it was Muaz Zakaria, I said, the mind said, let's have a braai. What happens after that? You see, his steam is also gone. So one small thing of this, see that? So the mind will then command, instruct. The mind instructs. And when the mind instructs, the whole body gets activated. Looking for the charcoal, looking for the meat, looking for the marinade, looking for the cold rings, looking for cold sore, whatever, for the things you're looking for, right? Everything you're looking for. Hey, where's this thing gone here? So that mind activated the entire body. So there is a link between the mind and the limbs. See that? The mind will instruct the limbs. And the limbs Allah Ta'ala has connected to the a'mal. What? Limbs He has connected to a'mal. Namaz is connected to the, what, to what? To the limb. Roza connected to the limbs. Sadaqah to the limbs, right? Hajj to the limbs. So the mind to the limbs, and the limbs are connected to the a'mal, to action, to deed, right? See the connection. In everything that we do, right, Allah Ta'ala has created a system. And we must understand that we have to respect the divine system. See, you want to enjoy some food, right? So Allah Ta'ala has created a system for that. You want to enjoy, for example, you are craving for beans, right? Just for example, right? When you crave for beans now, first you look for the money. For the money, you'll have to take a job, right? For the job, you'll have to see that you're diligent. When you're diligent, then you will get that money. You got that money, now you have to either plant the beans or purchase the beans. But you see the whole system. Now you wanted the beans to just come straight onto the stove it came. But you have to follow the whole sequence. First look for the money. For the money you have to take a job, right? For the job you have to be diligent, to be particular, right? Then once you got the money, then again there's another effort, go and buy the thing. Or go and sow the thing, right? Then it doesn't end up there. Again, you want to enjoy the thing, then ask someone to prepare the thing. Then to prepare it, you have to get the ingredients. For preparing the ingredients, you need a stove. To get the stove working, you need a connection. For the connection, you need to see that all your accounts, your electrical accounts are all paid up. Right? But you see the connection. Did it happen once, on one go? No. A small thing like a meal, you have so many connections to go through before you could enjoy that one meal. Now, that was your physical need, right? Then your spiritual need, you think that it'll just come like that. When that's your whole life, that's your jannat, that's what you're living for, that's the goal. For the physical need, there were so many means, so many things that you adopt before you could get to your physical means, before you could get to the satisfaction, right? Then your spiritual needs, will they be just fulfilled like that? No. See that for that money, how much? Fights, disputes, arguments. You will go through just to see to that your physical needs are fulfilled. If, for example, the municipality, Allah Ta'ala save them and save us also, they cut off the water. We get in an hour's time, we get 1,000 phone calls. Hey, there's a leak here somewhere, fix it up. So the second person will phone, third, see, no, I we already know about it. We're sending a truck, right? Maybe they send it today or tomorrow, whenever they send, they'll send it, right, in their own time. But you see the connection. You become so desperate. You phone them, second person will phone, third person will phone, everybody will phone. Like, it's a desperate need. So they phone. Now, I ask you, that spiritual need, do we take it so serious? The physical need, we showed so much of concern until we got it working. The spiritual need, do we show it that concern? My eyes are going off. I can see my tongue, I'm not using it right. I can see my relationship is not right. I'm not showing that level of akhlaq, manners and values that I'm supposed to be showing. Right? So, do we detect, identify our akhlaq, our values, our mannerism? Do we identify? And if you identify them, do we correct them? That simple thing like water, you identified it, you reported, you scold them, reprimand them until they got it fixed up. And sometimes you have to beg that plumber, please, by, no, you're suffering here, man. Come and fix it up. No, it's a weekend, I can't come. So take your price, just fix it up. Or you plead to them because we know the desperation. So do we feel so desperate about our spiritual self? Physical self, we feel so desperate. And we'll make a big noise. All these people here, they take advantage of us and make such a big noise. But the spiritual ailments that we have, we got pride in us, we got haughtiness in us, we got show and ostentation in us, got all these things in us, do we recognize them and do we try to correct them again? Do we try to correct them? Or we postpone them, or we'll meet, then we'll talk about it. Right? That means that we didn't understand the soul, really. If you got a problem now, heart problem, alright, when I'll meet Dr. Vanker, then we'll talk about it. I'll see him in the Sabguzari, maybe sometime, so I'll speak about it. Do we have it planned? Even if it's 12 o'clock, Dr. Sahab, are you awake? Are you awake? Or he's not around, the Farooq Hassan, are you awake? If not, he's around Dr. Hansa. You know, it's a touch and go thing, you know. So you become so worried, so concerned when it's a physical problem. I ask you a spiritual thing that relates to your akhirah, that can relate to your iman. Do you show that level of concern? That means there's something wrong. You see that for that beans now, how much of fikr? How much fikr? One fikr to the second, to the third, to the fourth, to the fifth, until you got it working right. Now for your spiritual things, do we show that level of concern? Like Allah has created a system here, He's created a system there as well. Right? For the spiritual things, then Allah has created a system. Like for your physical needs, He's created a system. So He will definitely create a system for your spiritual needs. But then do we adopt those spiritual means, whatever means that will take us to that end, do we adopt it? Right? We know, alright, I got riya, or I'm unfair, or I've got some ostentation in me. I know I'm guilty of self-admiration. I know about that. But do I go and fix it up? Tell me, anybody that's sitting here, if there's an interruption in the electricity, especially say at about 8 o'clock at night, right? 8 o'clock. Are you feeling easy? At 7 o'clock at night, are you feeling easy? Hey, it's so gloomy now, it's so frightening. What's going to happen now? I'll stick with this. Yeah? If there's electrical fault and the whole place is dark now, do we feel comfortable? Do we feel at ease? We feel so uneasy, uncomfortable. Call this person here, phone that person, until we have fixed it up. But the gloominess within us, do we think about fixing it up? Oh, yes, no, it's alright now, it's a spiritual thing. We're not the end of time now. Do we take that type of fikr, that type of worry toward fix that spiritual thing? When Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu, when he detected this, he says, by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam we are different. And when we away from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam we are different. Now straight away he thought of nifaq, that I am gone. You know, I'm here, I'm one person, and there I'm a different person. So really I'm a munafiq. But now when he's seen that, he's so worried. Until he discusses it with Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, here I'm one person and here I'm another person. You see the concern of the spiritual problems. So we do we have that? And do we examine ourselves where we went wrong? So I'm showing you that the limbs have been connected to actions, to your deeds. So the limbs are of two types. Limbs that are physical and limbs that are what you call actions that are physical and actions that are mental. Right? For we is, instead of saying spiritual, we say mental. Mental or physical. Physical we know, actions that are physical we know. And mental we also know, right? That there is a connection between our mind, between our hands, and the actions that we do, whether it's physical, whether it's mental. And I say there's a connection, it's a genuine connection. Now we hear this, we talk about it in our bayans, right? But really, do we relate it? Do we relate it to ourselves? We give it in a bayan, top juma bayan, chosen words, perfect presentation. People say, wah, 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 wah. But then, do we relate that this is connected to us as well? And I say the mental and physical are connected to a'mal, right? They're connected. And I say they're connected, I'm genuine about it, there's connection. There's a connection. And I say we talk about it, then don't we talk about that dharam story that king or the prince is going to the orchard and he's asking for the juice, right? We hear the story repeatedly, but do we apply it to ourselves? And do we think to ourselves that, see, there's something wrong, whether mentally, whether physically? And that's resulted in this. Do you ever think about it like that? Or we think, no, this is for the bayan. What is it? Give a top bayan, that's it. That's your deen. Like it's a doctor now, he's warning all his patients, be careful about sugar, don't play around, don't mess around, because this thing can become serious, you know, it can result in heart failure, you can get into a, you can get a stroke, you know, you can get paralyzed. But the doctor is sending it. He's saying this coke, the chocolates, everything is sending it. Koi aqal ki baat hai, bhai, agar itni khatarnak cheez hai, to tum kyun bachte nahi, tum ehtiraz kyun nahi karte, ehtiyat kyun nahi karte? So you're talking about it, but what about yourself? Are you concerned about yourself? If there isn't that consistency, that means you're not true. And then you can't fit in the company of the siddiqeen. You can't fit in. For you to fit in, you need to be truthful, you need to be honest. And if there is an inconsistent pattern that you are talking about something and you're doing something else, then with this inconsistency, you're not honest enough. And when you're not honest enough, then you can't fit into the jamaat of the siddiqeen, the salih. You don't fall in. There's a problem. Somewhere there's a problem. And you don't correct yourself. How are you going to fit in? So we hear about that dharam story, that anar story we hear about. And the anar story is one thing, but then the Quran Sharif has got the same thing. The Quran Sharif has got the same thing. Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah idhaqsamu layasrimunnaha musbihin wala yastasmoon fatafa alayha ta'ifun min rabbika wahum na'imun faasbahat kassareem. See that? So these people had just changed the intention. The intention was initially a good portion will go to the poor, right? That was the initial intention. Then when the father passed away, now they went around, 180 degrees around. Now father, he's talking of olden days. Olden days they were giving so much charity and all now. See, we were all our takazas, children, grandchildren, all these things now, we have to take care. So we can't go and spend like how father was spending. What's going to happen to the children and grandchildren? What's going to happen to them? So we can't go and spend wild. So I ask you, besides changing the intention, did they do anything wrong? Anything else? All they did was they changed the intention. When they changed the intention, then Allah Ta'ala smashed the whole farm down. All things was on. All things. Just the heart. The heart went wrong. Then the halat went wrong. See that? The heart, the intention were not. And I say that intention is also an action. And the action Allah Ta'ala connects it to the ahwal. See, the heart to the limb to the action to the ahwal, to the halal. So this whole farm, this whole thing collapsed when the amal went off, when the deeds went off. When the deed went off, the whole farm all collapsed. As though Allah Ta'ala is showing us, the collapse in yourself is a collapse in your action. Your action collapsed, so the halat, the conditions, the circumstance around you will not be favorable any longer. Before everything was favorable, everything was working out. Now it's not working out. People don't like you, they're turning away from you. You're not flourishing in your work. You don't have those type of profound ideas that you had, that you used to have. Now, then you'll point the finger at this person, at that person, and the third person. But yourself. Me, I am perfect, but this person is the spanner in the world. This person is on. And me, what's wrong? Am I guilty of? No, I am the perfect person. So, halat is connected to your action. And the ahwal is with Allah Ta'ala. He changes it. You improve your halat, you improve your actions, you improve your, Allah Ta'ala improves the halat. And you allow your actions to collapse, then Allah Ta'ala changes everything. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. When the actions deteriorated, now وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. In spite of the wide expanse of this earth here, everything just narrowed up for them. ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. What they short of? Not a short of anything, but everything came to a standstill. Now the whole world is constraining. It's become so tight upon them. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. See that? وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. When I'm teaching this to the boys, you know, so there is a chapter. When a person has made tawbah, then is it that will receive him the moment he says astaghfirullah and astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, will we receive him straight away, or we will monitor him for some time to see that he is firm on his tawbah and then we receive him? So there's two views. One view is once he's made tawbah, we'll embrace him straight away. And the other is that no, we'll have to monitor him for some time to see whether he's going straight or there's a relapse. And I tell you that everybody does that. I don't think anybody doesn't do it. If someone, he's known to be a cheat, right? He's known to be a bad payer, right? The word goes on that he's a bad payer. Will you give him goods on account? So I made tawbah about that. I made istighfar. But with all the istighfar and tawbah, but will you supply him? Tell the truth. So you want to see now, alright, is there a relapse? This man is really straight. And a more clear example is a person came to propose for your daughter, right? And you know that he had a habit of drugs. Yeah? Will you give him a respite just to see for 1 week, 2 weeks? All youngsters, they have this problem now. What's it? It's not a very serious thing. It's not the end of the world. It's not a train smash. Do you allow that? No, we want to see him, right? And I don't think anybody will give less than 6 months to try him out. It may take 2 years, 3 years. Let's see the person very, very well, very closely. Because we don't know when he may just relapse. He may say, no, I made tawbah, I went to a rehab, I corrected myself, I flushed myself clear. So the same thing will apply in deen. Right? So there's two views. One says that we accept him straight. And I say, no, we don't give him a chance. And the straightforward example is the Ramzani beard. I call it the Ramadani beard, right? So Ramadan time now, the ones that want to go on to the musalla, they'll have a beard, whether it's a designer beard, full beard, half beard, quarter beard, but they'll have a beard so that they are eligible for the musalla. Come Ramadan, they got the beard. Out of Ramadan went, the beard went. So if we know that this is the style of that person, then you don't give them musalla. Because his tawbah is conditional. It's not an unconditional tawbah. Tawbah is supposed to be unconditional. Okay, I leave this sin. But this, his tawbah is, until I'm performing tarawih, I will keep the beard, and once the Ramadan is gone, my beard is gone, khalas. I just need to keep it for keeping this namaz right. So I ask you, is his tawbah right? Is his tawbah right? Tawbah is not right. Tawbah requires some elements, some conditions. One is that you leave the sin. And one is you promise Allah Ta'ala that you won't do it. You try your best to abstain from that. And he is saying, Allah Ta'ala, no, just for Ramadan, just that this namaz must be right, I'm keeping that beard. Once the namaz is over, then I'm going to go back to my shaving. I ask you, is the tawbah right? So is he eligible for the musalla? Is he the right person for the musalla? See this whole connection, this link. Like in the physical realm, there's a link, there's a system. And we know that we have to follow that system to make things work. So in the spiritual realm also, there is a system. And we don't follow that system and want things to work, it won't work out. There's a system, right? You want, for example, you want meat, there's a certain place that you go to fetch your meat, right? The whole system, that meat comes to you and is delivered to you, or you purchase it and bring it, right? You want greens, there's a system, right? You want fruit, there's a system. Groceries, there's a system, right? And you have to follow the whole system. From the retailer, to the wholesaler, to the supplier, to the manufacturer, right? To the farmer, and from the farmer to the worker, from the worker to the rain, to the seed. All that will have to be covered for you to be able to enjoy that bottle of oil. And if you don't follow that system, will that oil come to you? So exactly the same, you want the spiritual gain, then this whole system will have to be followed. Now you want that ahwal to be changed and corrected, then eventually, see, like there you are to rely and you are to beg the farmer, right? Here you have to go to the mentor. Okay, go to him. So no, Allah is Allah kulli shayin qadir. Yeah, when it comes spiritual thing, Allah will just shame you straight away. I read that thing, Allah will. You read about beans, it comes straight away to you. You read about oils, it comes straight to you. You read about how it's manufactured, how they press the thing, but it doesn't come to you. You have to go through the whole process to get through. So the same here, you have to go through the process. You have to be good to the farmer, respect him, do everything. Then you get the raw product. The raw product is then taken to the factory. The factory then squeezes it. Then he supplies it to the supplier. Supplier to the wholesaler. Wholesaler to the retailer. Retailer to yourself. But the whole system has to be followed. So exactly like in the physical, you have to follow a system, respect the system. Then you get the things working. In the spiritual also, you have to respect the system, be true, be honest. Then you get the things working. Strangely, our minds, when it comes to dini matters, then there's too much of tawakkul. Tawakkal to Allah. We just trust in Allah Ta'ala, Allah will make it right. But in our dunya matters, then say, no, you know, we have to face up to realities. Dunya matters, what we say? I have to open the shop, it's a reality, I have to do it. That's our dunyawi things. And dini things, no, tawakkal to Allah. I trust in Allah Ta'ala. Just on the side, you know. There was one boy now, he's left the madrasa after completing. So he used to be selling cars on the side. So you see now the jalopis that he'll bring 10 years, 15 years. But in all those cars, he'll write that tawakkal to Allah. So one day I called him on the side. This is, for example, Allah gave you a brand new BM. Will you put tawakkal to Allah? So no, why? So what's the need to put it? So he's trusting Allah Ta'ala when he's in a problem. When he's in a problem, he's got tawakkal to Allah. He has a big signboard, tawakkal to Allah. But when the car is excellent now, it won't look so nice as an excellent car if I put a big board of tawakkal to Allah. So he only trusts Allah Ta'ala when he needs Allah Ta'ala. When he feels that he doesn't need the car, the whole yaqeen of his is shifted from Allah Ta'ala to the excellence and the good performance of the car. And when he feels that the car is going to fail him, then he got tawakkal to Allah. But you see our level of tawakkul. Is it right? Our thinking right? Our understanding right? So this understanding and this thinking really needs to be revamped. The old thing has to be revamped. Think to ourselves, understand. Allah Pak has best, made us the best of creation. Do we think, do we apply ourselves, do we understand, reason, analyze properly or not? So that's why I say, strangely enough, is tawakkul and dini matters, there we assign it to Allah Ta'ala. And dunya matters, we say, no, we have to face up to realities and see things happen. There we will take up all the steps to reach up to the end, get our things right. And dini matters, so Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim, Allah Pak will forgive, we need to revisit this whole site again, this whole site of deen, we have to revisit. I was wanting to talk to you about something else, but anyway, this thing just came up, and I discussed this. Maybe that was a need of the time, so Allah Ta'ala put my mind, shifted mind onto this. What I was wanting to speak about was around the time of Nubuwwat, right? And the things that happen. So there are some Jews that are coming into Medina Munawwara, right? As they see and they reach up to the outskirts of Medina Munawwara, they're discussing amongst themselves, yes, this is the land of the promised Nabi. A Nabi is supposed to come, this is the land. From the outskirts we can make it out, date palms, and this is the terrain that has been promised. So this is exactly the place of that promised Nabi. So as they approach Medina Munawwara, then they inquire, yeah, this is the place of the promised Nabi. They go up to the residence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and once they in the residence, so they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the tis'a ayat. You can translate the tis'a ayat as the nine miracles or the nine commands. Right? If you say the nine commands that were given to them in the Torah, like for example, la tushrik billahi shay'a, don't make shirk, don't murder, don't commit zina, right? Then don't accuse a changed woman, right? Don't steal and rob, don't practice sorcery and magic, right? And don't run away from the battlefield, right? And perhaps the last one is sila rahimi, don't break up and don't disobey your parents. So if you translate it as commands, these are approximately the nine commands, but if you translate it as the nine miracles, then Musa alayhi salam was given some great miracles, right? And perhaps from the miracles that he was blessed, nine the most outstanding. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about it. أَرْسَلْنَا عَلِهِمْ الْجَرَادَ وَالْقُمَّلَ وَالْضَفَادِيَ وَالْدَّمَ, right? Locusts and sometimes blood and sometimes frogs. So there were nine miracles that were given to them, to the Bani Israel, against the Coptics, against the ruling class. That was given then, the Yada Bayda, his hand shone out, right? And when the sticks turned into a serpent, Allah allowed them, he split the ocean and allowed them to cross easily, right? So all this was given to the Bani Israel. So Rasulullah has explained, gave the answers. So they were very impressed that we came to ask, and Rasulullah gave us the answers exactly as it's mentioned in our books. So he said, now you are the Nabi and you are the person that has been promised. We find you. And they began to kiss his hands and feet. So then Rasulullah asked them, alright, when you find me in the Torah, you find me in the Injil, then why? What stops you from believing in me? They found it exact, this conformity in the Injil and in Rasulullah. What he said exactly appears in their kitabs, in their books. So now we are scared now that if we do believe, then our people will kill us. Right. The strange thing is that you see this prediction, right? And I've been noticing it for, I think, maybe last 50 years, or more than 50 years. Whenever there is a trial in Ummat, then they say, Imam Mahdi's time is early, it's up now. I'm looking at it from all 50 years. Any trial? Imam Mahdi will come just now. The Dajjal time will come. 10 years later, he's about the time for his appearance. Another trial comes after the 20 years. His time is up. So when you talk about the predictions, for Allah's sake, please either keep it to yourself or see if there is total conformity with the hadith. If there is no total conformity with the hadith, right, or there is one some isolated opinion, then don't bring it up. There may be an opinion, we will not dispute it, but it's an isolated opinion, so just keep it. Don't bring it to the fore. Why don't bring it to the fore? Because you will confuse yourself and you will complicate matters. People will get confused, you will get confused. You will complicate matters for yourself and people's minds will be confused. About some 20, 22 years ago, so there was some prediction that Imam Mahdi will come. He's going to come on this Ramadan. And people having talks and seminars and all that. So I was getting scared at that time. I was getting really afraid. It was over 20 years ago. So I found an article. I asked my Ilyas to prepare this and bring it on the Al-Hadi, the first page. Now all the seminars was taking place, and strangely some of the leading ulamas were getting driven away with these talks. Leading ulama at that time, they're coming to the seminar talking about it. And I'm getting scared. The reason for my getting worried was that they're showing so much of importance, so many people are attending this bayans and they're supporting with some hadith, and the hadith may be an isolated view or not so strong and authentic, and they're giving it so much of importance. Now, the worry and the concern was, say for example it doesn't take place, then what's going to happen with these people's belief in the hadith? What's going to happen in their trust and their reliance in the hadith? What's going to happen with their reliance and confidence in this ulama ikram? What's going to happen to them? Everything will snap, everything will fall. Now, they're basing the argument on something that is, has got, you know, so much of room for ta'wil. What do you say, ta'wil? Interpretation. So much of room for interpretation. Now, they're specifying it with this. And if it doesn't happen then, but there's so much of room for interpretation. And then they say, you know, it's going to happen like this. And this year, it's going to happen. And khuda ka karna, it didn't happen. Oh, people have booked the tickets, they booked the hotels, everything in Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawara, and nothing happened after that. Can you imagine now what confusion we created, how people's minds were complicated? And the worst is this, the trust in the hadith, what has happened? So when there's a prediction, and there's an isolated opinion, or it's your individual opinion, just keep it to yourself. Yes, if it is very strongly supported, and you can see clear, conclusive evidence is conclusive, then you talk about it, there's no problem. But it's an isolated opinion, one person is giving one opinion, someone is giving an opinion, don't bring it to the public. I guess you'll confuse yourself, and you'll confuse others as well. Allah Tawfiq Asif Allah.